All right, Mason is back, but he's limited. His voice is messed up. How's your voice holding up after 2 hours?
Well, I think it's okay for the most part. It's feels like I've got a lot of congestion in my head. I don't know what it sounds like to you guys.
It doesn't sound as bad as I think you think it sounds.
Doesn't sound as bad as you think I think?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I'm glad I did this. I'm glad. We had nobody else to fill in, so they said you go on no matter what.
We used to have
Greg? That's pretty much what happened. It was like, it's either you or it's John Solo. Is that pretty much the case?
I mean, it was close to that. I probably could have convinced somebody to do it, but it would have not been. They
but
would not
you
have
just
been happy.
Didn't want to?
No,
but
they wouldn't
gamer.
Have been happy.
That's the thing about
you are
Mason.
A gamer.
He's a gamer.
Stepping up when we need you to step up.
Now, Mace, I saw this story and I immediately thought of you.
Okay.
Now, Chris Webber, who is going into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Broke ground on Tuesday in what's being called a cannabis compound in Southwest Detroit. $175 million.
Okay.
It's going to be called the Webber Wellness Compound. It'll be expanded by 80,000 square feet. The first phase is set to be completed in March of 2022.
Okay.
Basically, Chris Webber's doing what Mike Tyson has done, what a lot of other former athletes have done. They've invested, I know Calvin Johnson's doing it. They've invested in cannabis. You've done well for yourself. People that listen to the show know that you've got some money, some what we'll call investable assets.
Yes.
Have you considered, or would you consider, investing in a facility like this, a cannabis compound?
You know, I would. For a long time I was hesitant only because it's legal in the state, but it's not legal federally. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In other words, they don't enforce it, but it's technically not legal federally. It's legal in California, it's legal in Michigan, it's legal in places, but not legal federally. But yeah, if the right investment opportunity came along, I would definitely consider it. Now, Bergman, am I allowed to say what your brother does?
Sure.
Your brother does cannabis investment properties, right?
Or yeah, he is a cannabis attorney.
So, Greg, if you had a lot of money, would you invest in cannabis?
I would trust him, yes. If he told me to say, you have a lot of money, invest in this, I would say, I trust you. Absolutely.
I mean, I believe in it first of all, I believe it will be legal federally sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. It's coming. And I think it's become commonplace. I mean, you can't drive down a street in Los Angeles without seeing a billboard for a dispensary or I don't know. Have you ever been to one of these places called Mad Men, John? Or not
no.
Mad Men.
Mad Men.
No, I have not.
It's like going to an Apple store. It's like
you're buying weed?
Under glass, they've got, here's this weed, here's the wedding cake, here's the Granddaddy Purple OG, here's the, and you're allowed to sample them, smell them, all that kind of stuff. It's becoming very sophisticated. If the right opportunity came along, I would definitely consider it. I mean, I don't have the money to build a farm out in, I think Tyson's farm is out towards Palm Springs, I think. I think that's where his farm is located. I don't know if I'd necessarily grow, but I would definitely join a syndicate, but a syndicate of investors on a project.
You wouldn't, Ireland?
I wouldn't because, what people always say, invest in what you know. And I'm not a weed guy. You guys, consume weed and know what it does and how it helps and how it doesn't help. I'm not a weed guy, so I would stay away. But that does – see – What's interesting about this is I remember one time I used to play basketball with these guys and they had a company called Hot Body.
Okay.
And basically what it was video strip teases.
Okay.
Okay. So you know how in hotels for years and years before the internet, basically, like they had those movies you could rent in your hotel room.
Yeah.
But the X-rated movies cost a lot of money.
Yep.
These guys came up with something that would be more affordable, so if you had to rent $20 to get one of those other movies, this would cost you $10. Okay. And it would basically be like going to a strip joint, but in your hotel room. It was video strip teases. And the guy says to me, we're looking for investors. And he showed me the business plan. And I said, these guys are going to make a fortune. Because all these people are going to go into hotel rooms, and they're not going to want to go out, and they're going to be on the road, and they're going to want to save money. And I'm sure those guys did make a killing. And I told Lisa, hey, I want to invest in this because I think we could make some money. And she said, nope. I got to live with myself.
Hmm.
But the stigma, and in nothing, there was nothing illegal about it, by the way, but she just didn't like it morally. The stigma of marijuana is kind of gone.
It is gone. I mean,
so I wouldn't think any less of you two guys if you did something like this. I just wouldn't do it because I don't know anything about that business.
Yeah, most of my friends use cannabis, I would say. John, a lot of your friends use cannabis.
Most of my friends use cannabis, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know that it is coming. You know it's a real investment. You know it's for real. I don't know why you don't use it to sleep. I mean, you've got trouble sleeping.
I've tried it for that.
And yeah. If you got the right strain, if you got a nice strain, nice indica strain like Wedding Cake, I think it would probably work for you. It works for me. That's, by the way, and Michael Thompson is starting his wine company, or him and Clay. What's
Diamond
it called
and
again?
Diamond and Key, because it's Diamond Nolan Arenado and Clay. So it's Diamond for baseball and Key for Clay, for basketball Key.
That's what we should start. We should start our own strain.
Ooh, well,
I wouldn't
Mason
do it because I don't know
strain.
Anything about strains.
Well, but you can be just have your name on it.
I think John would probably be very uncomfortable
I
with
would.
That.
Yeah, I would.
What if it was federally legal? At that point, would you feel more comfortable?
Better. I'd feel better. But I'd be worried if, like, our strain turned some kid into a stoner. I'd feel guilty about it. You know? But kids are going to turn into stoners anyway.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with being a stoner? I am a stoner. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but you weren't in high school. You were an overachiever in high school.
Yeah, I was. I was. Later on in life, I became a stoner. I didn't. You know what's weird? I never smoked weed until I was 35 years old.
Right.
Never even tried it.
You came onto it later in life.
And then never quit.
Okay. I want to get back to the Dodgers, but I want to ask you a Lakers question first. So, Mace, I'm going to read you a list of the Lakers' jersey numbers this year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, just the numerical jerseys that the Lakers are going to wear and how that plays out on it, like if you're looking at a roster page, okay?
Right.
Russell Westbrook, 0. Trevor Ariza, 1. Wayne Ellington, 2. Anthony Davis, 3. Rajon Rondo, 4. Talen Horton-Tucker, 5. LeBron James, 6. Carmelo Anthony, 7. So you have 0 through 7. Then nobody has 8 because it's retired for Kobe. Kent Bazemore, 9. DeAndre, 10. Malik Monk, 11. Kendrick Nunn, 12. Okay?
Okay.
So those are 13 guys, or 12 guys, 0 to 12.
Okay.
And then the last guy in the roster is Dwight Howard, number 39. If you're Dwight Howard and everybody has a number between 0 and 12, would you have changed your number so that he could, by the way, he could not have taken 13. It's retired for Wilt.
Right.
So Dwight could have gone 00 or he could have gone 14. Is all this something or nothing? If you're Dwight, would you have changed to get with the crowd, or is it just numbers and it doesn't mean anything?
Dwight doesn't strike me as a joiner. He doesn't strike me as a – I mean, he strikes me as a guy who's doing his own thing. Look at his hair on Media Day. Super cool. has that purple, you know, that color of purple and the sticking out of the back and all that stuff. He's doing his own thing. I say, Dwight, you be if 39 is your number, if maybe it's his lucky number, is it the number he's always worn?
No, remember when he was here before, he wore 12.
Oh.
Yeah, 9 plus 3 is 12. I think that's the other reason he wears it.
Oh, 9 plus 3 is 12.
And then plus he won the championship with that jersey, so he kept it since 12 was taken.
Yeah, I almost think this is coincidental that all these numbers lined up in a row like that.
I think it was – I don't think anybody sat down and said, okay, we're going to do them in order.
Yeah, so if I'm Dwight, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think.
Apparently he's taking some heat on social media, like, hey, go take a low number, go 00 or go 14 so everybody will be in a row. Who cares?
He should have gone 14. He absolutely should.
Why?
Because everybody else is in order. They skipped 8 because you had to skip 8. So they're able to skip 13 because you have to skip 13. He should have gone 14 and been in line with everybody else. This is a team going after one goal together. They're all in unison. Remember
but they
when,
can't do that when Dwight's in a number 39
it's
jersey?
It's just different. Why do you want to be different? So because just think about it this
different's
way.
Different's not bad.
Think
no,
different.
It's not.
Different is good.
Sure. But remember when LeBron was in Cleveland and everybody wore suits with the suit pants, shorts. They weren't pants. They were all wearing suit shorts.
Suit shorts.
Yeah. Like that was because they wanted to
that
be
was a
team.
Weird trend, yeah.
It was a very weird trend. But they all did it together. I feel like this is being number 14 means that you're a part of the team. You're all
do you
doing
think anybody
one thing
in this locker
unison.
Room is concerned with what number Dwight Howard is wearing?
Not if he rebounds and plays defense.
No, this is for us. This is for social media. This is for the
is
audience.
Is it to help us keep track of him on the floor?
It makes it that
so
much
he's
easier.
So he's in line with everybody else?
I'm just saying, like, why does in this situation, why does he need to be different from the rest of his teammates?
Why not?
Yeah, because he's different.
Because it could have been so great, though.
What would have been great about
zero,
it?
Zero. You're going
You'd
zero to 14.
You'd have forgotten about it within, by halftime of the first game.
I wouldn't have thought about it if John didn't bring it up right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to it. people are killing Dwight. I don't think he deserves it.
Are they seriously killing Dwight over his number?
Well, they're saying, what you could if you would have joined the club, this would be a really cool thing.
Right.
I don't think there is a club. I really don't. I don't. I just think that it just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, Dwight is his own cat, man. He's going to do his own thing.
Yeah, and as long as, you know, as him and DeAndre Jordan rebound and play defense, I'm cool with it. That's the most important thing. And, you know, we get our first look at the Lakers on Sunday. Not sure who's going to play and who isn't. Frank Vogel said this morning that there are going to be some starters that they rest. Let me see if I can get that list. LeBron, Westbrook, Carmelo, and Trevor Ariza are all resting on Sunday. So that means we'll see a lot of Dwight and we'll see a lot of AD and we'll see a fairly big amount of the new guys like Kendrick Nunn and Kent Bazemore and all those dudes.
Wait, so we're not going to see any of the big time guys outside of AD?
AD, you're going to see AD.
I mean, I wonder who's going to play for the Nets because then it's so.
Yeah, that's a good question. But all those guys are at practice. Even Kyrie's eligible.
They're like down in San Diego, right?
Right. Yeah. So.
Well, that takes a little luster off that game.
I mean, it's a preseason game. The sure. Preseason games don't have a lot of luster.
And by the way, Greg, Sean McVay plays no starters
right, that,
in preseason
That's football.
Games.
That's football where they're running into people and you know destroying each
whatever
other.
Whatever as long as everybody's healthy and ready to go on opening night, I'm good.
Totally agreed. Like they could play, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Right. Has there ever been any luster? When I did Lakers pregame back in 2009 and 2010, I remember discussing the impact of Saša Vujačić on the roster because he played so much. And, because you've got to talk about stuff, right? You've got to talk about Hillbilly Kobe?
I don't know if that is approved, so I'm not acknowledging it yet.
Austin
oh,
Reeves.
Really?
I'll acknowledge it.
It was approved
Austin
on Spectrum.
Reeves. Yeah, Austin Reeves is the guy. John didn't say that.
Okay. Because they talked about it on a Spectrum.
Right, those guys don't work for the team.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if he likes it. I'm not sure if they like it. So I just gotta run it up the flagpole. All right, coming up next, Clayton Kershaw's pitching tonight. It could be his last start ever as a Dodger. Should that be acknowledged, or are you putting bad karma into the world? We'll get into that coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason and Ireland rolling on. Reminder, in 15 minutes, we're doing Lie of the Day. I may have already told it. I may tell
it. Did
you
already tell it?
I may tell it in this segment.
Oh, wow. And again, it's for Rams-Cardinals tickets on Sunday at SoFi.
Right. And so we'll do that at 3:30. And then Game of Games, first game of a new month. It's my game today, but everybody starts with a clean slate. And we'll do Game of Games after that. All right, so Mace, I mentioned this at the top of the show. And the more I think about it, the more I think the fans should do something for Clayton Kershaw tonight. Here's why. Kershaw's starting for the Dodgers. It's against Milwaukee. It's the last regular season appearance for Kershaw this year. There's a possibility, and Bergman and Mason both think it's a real possibility, that the Cardinals could beat the Dodgers in the wild card game next Wednesday, and the season would be over. If that's it, it could be, probably won't be, but it could be Clayton Kershaw's final appearance as a Dodger tonight at Dodger Stadium. The guy's been the greatest regular season pitcher maybe of all time. His regular season numbers compare with those of Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Don Sutton and Fernando Valenzuela. First ballot Hall of Famer. The problem is, Mace, if you do that, if the Dodgers acknowledge him, if the fans do something special, like I told the story at the top of the show, the Trevor Story, the Rocky shortstop, when he ran out to take the field the other day, his teammates let him take the field by himself so he could get a standing ovation, because most people think Trevor Story is going to leave as a free agent at the end of this year.
He's said he's leaving.
So we don't know if Kershaw's leaving. He's a free agent.
Yep.
Can leave if he wants. But even the possibility makes me think that the fans should do something special for Kershaw tonight.
Like, what would special look like?
Recognize him on the scoreboard. When he takes, maybe do what the Rockies did. Let Kershaw take the field by himself. Wait 30 seconds. Let the crowd cheer for him. And then everybody else run out there. Do something symbolic to recognize his greatness. Is that worth doing or not worth doing?
I mean, it's a nice thing to do. I just don't think anybody wants to plan for getting knocked out of the playoffs on Wednesday. I don't think anybody wants to put that into the universe. Yeah, I don't think anybody's head is in, we're done on Wednesday.
But
I
could, mean, it would be, could, do, can't the two things be mutually exclusive? In other words, you recognize Kershaw tonight for his greatness, and you celebrate him if he gets to the postseason. But if you don't do anything tonight, and he leaves, he goes to the Angels or goes to the Rangers at the end of the year, the moment will have passed. You know what I mean?
I do. And in that case, he'll get an ovation when he comes back to Dodger Stadium. But I don't think they'll do anything tonight. I mean, it would surprise me if they did something.
Yeah, it would surprise me
I've got
too.
Nothing against it. I just don't think.
Because sports are weird. People don't want to even acknowledge the possibility that it could be his last game.
Correct. I do not want to ponder that. I do not. Look, I think the Cardinals are really good. We're going to face 17-game winner Adam Wainwright on Wednesday. Cardinals have been red hot. Cardinals have been a thorn in our side in multiple postseasons. I've stood at Busch Stadium after Clayton Kershaw gave up a home run to, I think, Matt Carpenter and lost a game. I mean, I hate facing the Cardinals. They're one of the teams I really hate in Major League Baseball. But I've got to believe that we're going to win. Otherwise, I can't get through the next 5 days.
If management does something for Clayton Kershaw tonight, where they put something on the big board or they're standing, tell everyone to have to do a standing ovation, doesn't that kind of tip their hand of what they're going to do with Kershaw?
It does. Yeah, it does, actually.
Not necessarily. They don't know.
Well, but if you set this whole thing up.
If you ask Andrew Friedman or Stan Kasten after the game, did that tribute you did for Kershaw mean that you're leaning against not keeping him next year? They would say absolutely not.
Yeah,
but
you can't do a farewell on the scoreboard if there's a chance you're going to keep the guy.
Right. Then it's just weird. Then, I mean, you're basically telling Clayton Kershaw, yeah, we're not bringing you back next year.
Are you?
Yeah, we're not going to make you a good offer. We're not going to make you a competitive offer. So here's your highlight reel.
Right. I mean, what if they give him a one-year deal? Like, it's a one-year $20 million deal or something along those lines.
Well, I mentioned this earlier, but what you got to be careful of is if they do that, if they offer him 1 year $30 million, because, Mace, these last 2 years, he was basically operating on 2 years $60 million, right?
Yes.
The Angels and the Rangers both desperately need starting pitching. The Angels could offer him more money than he deserves, and he wouldn't even have to move. The Rangers, Texas is where he grew up. Dallas is where he grew up.
Yep.
The Rangers could easily overpay. We know they've done it before for people. So the Rangers could overpay, and then Kershaw's gone, and you miss the moment to cheer him in a Dodger uniform. It's just something to think about. I'm not sure what I would do. But yeah, it's interesting, Greg. I didn't think about the message it sends him.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, here are your greatest hits, Clayton.
Right. Goodbye. It was fun while we knew you. We had you. We drafted you. You won MVPs.
Could
you
all
won
be
World
over
Series.
Wednesday. So thanks
by the way,
for playing.
Nate, while you were gone yesterday, we debated this. I want to know what you think.
Kev.
And by the way, sitting A.J. Pollock is no longer even a consideration. A.J. Pollock is the hottest hitter in all of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
When the
playoffs
start, A.J. Pollock has to be in left field.
And by the way, pointed out last night on the show, even splits. He's like batting 300 against righties.
A.J. Pollock's in the lineup no matter what. So we were trying to decide if you're choosing between Gavin Lux and Cody Bellinger for the one-game playoff and the start of the playoffs. Both Greg and I said, and I know this flies in the face of analytics, we said we'd play Bellinger. Even though he's hitting 150, even though he's shown this year that he just has been lost, he's been a little better lately. The chances of a major defensive screw-up from Cody Bellinger in center field compared to that of Gavin Lux is minimal. I think the assurance he gives you defensively plus the chance that he might crank one out and get lucky means I play Bellinger over Lux. What say you?
The defense is important. And I see Cody Bellinger as a late-inning defensive replacement, pinch-hitter defensive replacement. I think you've got to put the guy who's actually hitting the baseball right now. You said you see some improvement in Cody Bellinger. I don't see any improvement.
Well,
two nights ago
he had a home run, and last night he had an RBI single.
I see.
So
I
consecutive
see changed,
games with an RBI.
I see he changed his stance. I see he changed his approach. He's no longer, you know, winding up with his knee on the ground, which is what he was doing most of the year. The defense does matter, but I think I would start Lux at this point.
Even with a tape caricature of him running into the wall behind him in left center, symbolizing his clumsiness just two nights ago. By the way, if they play Lux Bergman, I change my answer from earlier. You don't play Lux in center and leave the tape out there behind him.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a bad look. Like, here's the chalk outline of where you actually struck the wall. You could flip a coin. I have a feeling they'll go with Bellinger.
I think, Mace, you got to go with Bellinger here. And just because of the whole one-game scenario, Gavin Lux, if a ball gets hit out to him in center field or right field or left field or wherever they end up putting it, probably left, I guess. You aren't sure that he's going to catch
left.
It.
Pollock's in left.
Well,
you can put Pollock in center.
Yeah, Pollock can play center.
He came up as a center field.
Right, yeah. So it doesn't matter where he's playing. If Gavin Lux is out there, you are allowing yourself to think like, oh my God, I don't know if he's going to catch this or not. Whereas Cody Bellinger is going to catch it. And you know that he's going to make some amazing play. I mean, this doesn't mean that Gavin Lux can't pinch hit later in the game.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thing. By the way, Mason, you asked me earlier.
I think that's what they will do.
Mason, you asked me earlier if I would reconsider starting Max Scherzer. I would not. I love Scherzer. I know his last two outings have been lousy. Would you
reconsider it?
Starting Scherzer in the wild card game.
Well,
Bueller will be ready.
Bueller will be on time.
You could pitch Urias. You could take him out of his start this weekend and give him the wild card game.
Or you could not pitch Bueller on Sunday and start him in the wild card game.
Right. I mean, really anybody. But if you pitch Kershaw tonight, really any of the other three, you have a choice of pitching.
I don't know. I mean, Bueller threw so well. We were at that game Tuesday night. Bueller threw so well. Seemed to have a much better handle on his approach. Used the four-seamer a lot more. Threw his fastball a lot. And was very, very efficient. Scherzer. This is two rocky starts in a row. Now, you're the guy that says after if he puts two runners on, that's it.
Two on, nobody out, I get Bueller up.
Two on, nobody out, you get Bueller up. If you have that little confidence in your starter, then you probably shouldn't start him.
By the way, how about this? Other team hits a leadoff homer and then puts the next two guys on. You getting somebody up? So it's 1-0, and you got runners on first. Maybe make it harder. You got runners on second and third, and you're down 1-0. You getting somebody up?
Somebody's probably
stirring
They're
doing
stirring
that
in the bullpen.
Motion with
there's
their
nobody
arm.
Throwing, but there's movement in the
stretching.
Bullpen, as they like to say. Yeah,
like
they're stretching.
Stretching.
Yeah.
It's like Mason at the game the other night. He stood up and was like, "Is anybody getting loose?" And he kept looking over.
Yeah, I was doing that a lot because I did not want Buehler to throw the seventh inning. I kept looking down there saying, "Come on, let's." He's had a great night. His confidence is built up. He's rebounded from a couple of bad starts. We don't want to burn him out for the left him out there for the seventh. Now, the thing that upset me was I don't know why they didn't go to Kenley, and I don't know why there was an explanation for why they didn't go to Kenley, because Blake Treinen was awful. He got it done, but he got it done in a scary way. Gave up the home run to Caratini and ended up with a runner at second base, the tying run at second base, before he actually got the strikeout. I thought Blake Treinen was an adventure.
Never a doubt. Adventure. Kenley is his middle name. Adventure.
I just think no matter who is out there, it's scary. And it was scary with Blake Treinen out there.
All right, coming up next, lie of the day. Fill up the phones, 877-710-ESPN.
Boy.
What was the lie of the day today? Where did it come from? It was my lie. If you can identify it, you get tickets to Rams Cardinals on Sunday, and we'll follow that up with Game of Games. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason and Ireland, we've reached that time of the show where somebody is going to have a chance to win free tickets to the Rams-Cardinals game Sunday at SoFi Stadium. It's a game Mason is planning on going to,
yes,
depending on if his health holds up.
Yes.
And now you say Juan is developing,
Juan's developing the
Tom Brady raspy voice.
So you never know.
Okay. So, but Mason's likely to be there, and you can be there too if you can sniff out the lie of the day. Now, Mace, we've adopted a new thing.
Okay.
So for everybody that tries lie of the day, they're allowed to either make their own guess.
Okay.
Or if you have a guess, they can defer to you. Now, Do you have a guess?
I do not even have
a guess. You have one. Okay, Bergman, do you have a guess?
I do have a guess.
Okay, Jorge, do you have a guess?
I do have a guess.
All right, so you both have a guess. So you can either make your own guess or you can defer to Bergman or Jorge, each who think they have sniffed out the lie. We will start with Ricky in Pacoima. Ricky, you're on 710 ESPN. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Doing well. Ricky, what do you think the lie of the day was?
Please tell me the lie of the day is the Paul McCartney story.
100% right! Ricky,
nice!
You got it!
Yeah!
I have never met... That story happened to... Mace, remember Paul Majors?
Oh, sure. Great
That's
guy.
Paul Majors' story. It's not mine. Majors was working one night at Channel 2. He walked across the street, and he's a huge Beatles fan. And Paul McCartney was sitting at the bar. McCartney said to him, "I just saw you on the news." And Majors ended up talking to him for like 20 minutes, made his life. And I stole that story and incorporated it as my own. Now, the other celebrity stories were all true. The Steven Spielberg story, the Mick Jagger story coming out of the water at the hotel. But the false story was the one Ricky nailed, Paul McCartney. So, Ricky, you got it. Have you ever been to SoFi, Ricky?
No, I have never been to SoFi. I'm personally a Saints fan, but I'm from L.A. and we watch Rams games all the time with my friends.
And I'm really excited because I'm a big L.A. guy. Like, I can't wait. I know I got to get there early because of the Dodger game because I'm a big Dodger fan too. So I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, hang on the line and Greg will get your info, okay?
Thank you.
You got it. So, Greg, was that your guess, by the way?
That was my guess, actually.
Jorge, you too?
That's the one, yep.
Yeah, I didn't think it could be anything else. I didn't tell enough old, other stories.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of crazy stories.
So, but that was it.
The reason I couldn't get it is because I'm tanked on NyQuil right now.
Hey, let me ask you, do you have any memorabilia in your house? Any, like, remember our old friend Seth Swirsky had all those pieces of memorabilia in his house? And, like, different people will pay. Did you see this story that Michael Jordan's used underwear sold for just under $3,000 at an auction?
Jeez,
that's disgusting.
His used underwear.
What do you do with that? Do you frame it?
Do you put it in a glass case? Do you wear it? Hoping that his DNA will rub off on you somehow? What would you pay any money for that?
No.
Hell no.
Is it some sort of kinky thing? I mean, what are you going for with that?
It makes no sense to me, but somebody at an auction paid $3,000 for Michael Jordan's used underwear.
Was it game-worn underwear?
Let me see if it says it. It was at Leland's Auction House Saturday night. The final bid was $2,784. The gray and black boxers hit the auction block in August, and they were definitely worn, according to providers, by Jordan himself.
Yeah, that is
you
got
to be a little sick in
bizarre.
The head to be buying somebody else's underwear. Don't
I have
you?
Some memorabilia, like I have my Julio Rodriguez bobblehead here. Oh,
yeah. But that's not that's not memorabilia. Memorabilia is something that was worn or used by somebody in a game. Like, believe it or not.
No, I don't have any. Like, Sandy Koufax signed a baseball for me.
Like, the guy who has the most Lakers memorabilia is a guy named David Kohler. He lives in Orange County.
He's got a crazy
And I've been to his house a couple times, and he's got a really cool, like, he's got Kareem's goggles. He's got a couple of nets from when the Lakers have won titles. He's got a couple of actual game-worn jerseys. But I don't have any of that stuff. And, you know, I asked Jerry West once, how much of that stuff do you have? And he said, almost zero. I gave it all to my kids or I sold it. You know, so the players really don't care. But the thing that always amazes me about that stuff, Mace, is that a lot of them come with a quote-unquote certificate of authenticity.
Right.
But every athlete I've ever talked to says they can just make that up, too.
Well, there's some people, though, that do it right. In other words, like, if you buy it through a company like Upper Deck, those certificates of authenticity are for real.
But how do you know?
Well, because it's Upper Deck, and they've staked their entire company, their entire reputation on that stuff being for real. That's one that you can trust. There are certificates that you can trust. There are other ones that are
just
totally
made up. The only one I would trust is if I actually got it from the person himself. Like when Jack was little, my son was little, he used to have an auction, a charity auction, and I always asked Kobe if he would sign one of his shoes and give it to me. But I sat there and watched him do it. So I always knew it was legit. But Kobe told me once that he goes, you know, you could just go buy one of my shoes, buy it in my size and sign it and then fake one of those certificates.
Oh, sure.
And nobody would know.
Now, you got it done, which means you have no letter of authenticity.
None.
If you ever wanted to move. Because what people do is they use these things as investments, right? You know, they're tradable assets. Like I've talked on the show before, I've got 600 Frank Thomas Leaf rookie cards, and Beckett says they're worth $60 a piece. Now, at some point in my life, I may just be paying for things in Frank Thomas rookie cards because of the value. And I've got stuff like I've got Tom Seaver cards, rookie cards, Steve Carlton rookie cards, Ricky Henderson rookie cards, Ken Griffey Jr., a ton of Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards. So, I mean, those are tradable assets. And I think that's why people buy game-worn stuff is because the idea is that someday in the future, those things will become really, really valuable.
I just would doubt the authenticity of a lot of them. And by the way, Kobe was the only guy I ever asked to do that. And after a while, so many people were asking him that the Lakers just cut it off. We're not even allowed to ask any players now to sign anything.
Well, Brian Cranston told me that, he doesn't sign autographs anymore. He will take a picture with anybody, and he'll do selfies and all that stuff with anybody. But he won't sign anything, especially not Breaking Bad stuff, because he found out that what happens is basically somebody turns around and puts it on eBay right away. They're not doing it for sentimental reasons. They're doing it because they want to sell it to somebody else.
Oh, that
makes
sense.
So that's why he does no autographs anymore. He only does pictures, which, to be honest with you, is cooler than an autograph.
Right, because you're in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're in it. Okay, coming up next, the first game of games for the month of October. It's my game. It's a brand new month, so the scoreboard is completely blank. Whoever wins this game will have the lead to themselves, and we will do it next. All right, here we go. Time for Game of Games. It's my game today, and it's a fresh new start for Game of Games. We ended the month of September yesterday. I was able to get that month, but now another 10 grand in mythical money on the line starting today, October 1st, the first game in October. It is Jorge, Bergman, and Mason competing for the lead. Guys, as we've been talking about throughout the show, the Lakers open the preseason on Sunday. So I have a quiz about the current Lakers roster.
Okay.
It's multiple choice. Here we go. Question one. This Laker was a two-time letterman on his high school track team, competing in the high jump, long jump, and triple jump. Is it A, DeAndre Jordan, B, Wayne Ellington, or C, Talen Horton Tucker? Jorge, Jordan, Ellington, or THT?
I'll go Ellington.
Okay, Bergman.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ellington also.
Mace?
I am unanimous on Ellington.
You guys were all right. Obviously, you know you're Wayne Ellington. He was a two-time high school track high jumper, long jumper, and triple jumper. Okay. This Laker scored 117 points in his first six NBA games, the most for an undrafted rookie since 1964. Is it A, Kendrick Nunn, B, Kent Bazemore, or C, Malik Monk? Bergman, Nunn, Bazemore, or Monk?
Kendrick Nunn.
Mason.
I'm also going Kendrick Nunn.
Jorge.
I'll go A.
All three of you, correct again, and this quiz so far has fooled nobody.
I think I actually knew that one, though. That was a
question
big thing with the Warriors.
Three.
Well, the idea of DeAndre Jordan doing a triple jump just entertained me.
Right.
All right. Question three. This Laker made the largest financial donation to his alma mater in school history, more than $10 million. Is it A, Carmelo Anthony, B, Anthony Davis, or C, Russell Westbrook? Mace, A, B, or C?
A, Carmelo Anthony.
All right, Jorge.
I'll go Westbrook.
Greg.
I think it is Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook. He donated $10 million to the UCLA Athletic Department, which is why his name is on the court. Briones, 3. Bergman, 3. Mason, 2. Jorge, back to you.
Okay.
This Lakers' middle name is Pierre. Is it A, Trevor Ariza, B, Rajon Rondo, or C, Malik Monk? Jorge, A, B, or C?
Oh, I'll go B.
Bergman.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rondo also.
Mace.
And I am going Rondo too.
Yes, Rajon Pierre Rondo.
Because the first name sounds kind of French. Rajon.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Bergman, 4. Jorge, 4. Mason, 3. All right. Bergman, This one to you. This Laker set a freshman scoring record at his college by scoring 47 points in a game. Was it A, Carmelo Anthony, B, Malik Monk, C, Kendrick Nunn?
Ooh, that's tough.
A, B, or C?
I am going to go. I know Carmelo scored a lot of points, but I'm going to say Monk.
Okay, Mace.
I'm going to say Carmelo.
Jorge.
Who was A?
Carmelo Anthony, Malik Monk, or Kendrick Nunn?
I'll go Kendrick Nunn.
Greg Bergman has the lead. It was Malik Monk, 47 points against North Carolina in his freshman season. All right. Bergman, 5. Jorge, 4. Mason, 3. This Laker has a twin sister. Is it A, Anthony Davis, B, Dwight Howard, or C, Austin Reeves? Mace, A, B, or C?
I'm going to go Austin Reeves.
Okay, Jorge.
I'll go Anthony Davis.
Greg.
Yeah, you threw Austin Reeves in there very weirdly, but I'm with Jorge. Anthony Davis.
Bergman is 6 for 6.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
It is Anthony Davis. Her name is Antoinette. All right. Okay.
Is she tall?
Not as tall as him, but yeah, she's tall. All right. Speaking of AD, Anthony Davis is one of two Lakers to win the Lefty Gizell Award in college, given to the best defensive player in college basketball. The other Laker who won that award is either A, Trevor Ariza, B, Kent Bazemore, or C, Talen Horton Tucker. Bergman, A, B, or C?
Oh, man. So Ariza played 1 year at UCLA, was an excellent defender, but I don't remember him winning it. It was Bazemore or Horton Tucker?
Or THT, yeah. Pick one.
I'm going to say Bazemore.
All right, Mason.
I'm going to say Horton Tucker.
All right, Jorge.
Bazemore.
Bazemore is the correct answer, and Greg Bergman is 7.
Wow.
Let's go.
Yay.
Bergman, this is the last question. You have won the game, but you have a chance at immortality.
Yes, immortality.
Laker immortality.
Here we go.
Okay.
This Laker has a sister that was once drafted by the Harlem Globetrotters. Is it A, Anthony Davis, B, Dwight Howard, or C, Trevor Ariza? Bergman, A, B, or C?
I don't know the answer to this at all. I'm going to say...
Do you like a helpline?
Yeah, do I have a helpline?
No. A, B, or C?
I'm
going to
say Ariza.
Okay. Mace.
Ariza.
Jorge.
Yeah, C.
Greg? You choked.
Oh, no.
Is Anthony Davis, his other sister, was drafted by the Globetrotters. His two sisters. One's his twin. The other sister was drafted by the Globetrotters.
Wow.
But Greg, 7 out of 8 and the lead in Game of Games. Very impressive performance.
Thank you.
We'll do the tiebreaker just for kicks.
Okay.
The Laker roster is tied for the most combined All-Star game appearances on any roster ever assembled.
Okay.
How many combined All-Star appearances does the current Laker roster have? And I'll give you a hint. LeBron on his own has 17. Okay? So how many combined, if you take all the other guys on the roster and add the amount of times they've been in the All-Star game, what's the total number? Bergman, give it a shot.
243.
Okay.
That's too many. That's way too high. I went way too high.
Mace.
I'll say it's 60.
Okay. Jorge.
I'll go 55.
Briones?
Yeah.
I need you. Okay. Do you know where CBS Television City is on Beverly?
Yeah, sure.
I want you to drive over there and tell them you want to be on The Price is Right.
All right.
Because the correct answer is 56. Look, you guessed 55.
Oh, wow.
So 243 was wrong?
You win both showcases.
243 was just a little bit high.
Just high.
The answer,
I was going to say 56 at first, too. That's weird.
LeBron, 17. Carmelo, 10. Westbrook, 9. AD, 8. Dwight Howard, 8. And Rajon Rondo, 4. They used to have 59 when Marc Gasol was on the roster, but he left. So the answer is 56, led by LeBron 17 and Melo's 10. Pretty good.
Pretty good if you're
the Lakers. All right, a couple of reminders before we get out of here. Number one, if you have tickets to any of the games on Sunday, whether it be the Dodger game at noon, the Laker game at 12:30, or the Rams-Cardinals game at 1 o'clock, leave early. All three of those games are in Los Angeles. They all use the same freeway system. Freeways are going to be jammed. I have a 12:30 game at Staples Center. I think I'm leaving at 6:30 a.m. Mace, what percentage do you put on it that you'll actually be there in person on Sunday?
Well, I think I'll be out of the woods. As long as Juan doesn't get it really bad, then I think we're probably 75% in.
All right. Jorge, that means there's a 25% chance that you get free Rams tickets.
Hey,
better than
good,
nothing.
Yes, it is.
All right, by the way, my prediction. Rams 35, Cardinals 24. What do you think, Mace?
I think it's Rams 42, Cardinals 24.
Bergman?
Rams 28, Cardinals 24.
Jorge?
35, 28, Rams.
All right, everybody's on the Rams. Everybody have a great, safe weekend. Mace,
yes.
Feel better, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Sedano and Cap next, 710 ESPN.